the effort and obviously the way they've been able to close out some games to get back here. A lot of respect. I'd also like to thank the Big Ten Conference, Jim Delaney, his staff, everybody that touches us, you know, from the way we have been planning to come here, to the media events, to the hotel, to the stadium itself. His staff is unbelievable. All the things that our kids are going to be able to do during their 48 hours here in Indianapolis is second to none. It's a first-class organization from top to bottom, and you really feel special being here. So I'm excited for us to get back here. We are a little bit like we've been here, done that. We've seen this facility. We've seen the layout of the stadium and obviously a new locker room. We're excited to be in the home team and to be in the Colts locker room. As far as my team, we're a little bit healthier. We got Jared Avedaris will be with us full go, as well as Chris Borland, who hasn't been back with us the last 2 weeks. I know he's excited to get out here. A couple other guys are just a little bit healthier than they have been the last couple weeks. So we're hitting it at the prime time and excited to get going. So with that, open it up for some questions.
Again, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We're going to start way over here on the left.
Coach, given what he's been through since he's been here, if on the first day of fall practice you said Kurt Phillips was going to be quarterbacking the game that might send you to the Rose Bowl, how would you have reacted to that?
Well, I knew that Kurt was, from the spring, he wasn't quite 100%, but from the reports I'd heard during the summer, he was back to himself and throwing the ball and executing everything that a quarterback needs to do. It was a very tough competition between him, Danny, and Joel. Obviously, we went with Joel. I said at the time to our media that we had three quarterbacks that we can win with. I didn't know it was actually going to happen. So that part I wasn't planning on. But I think the number one thing that you can tell about Kurt, and I'm sure you get this when you interview our players, he has a great deal of respect from everybody in our locker room, players and coaches, just because of the perseverance and the way that he competes. I mean, nobody loves the game or enjoys the game more than Kurt Phillips, and it really shows in his play.
Out here.
Kind of more on Kurt. You know, you guys said you had the attitude of been there, done that, but last year Kurt watched this game from his couch at home. Can you talk about how you're going to change your offense at all, playing in a dome and the sound, and just it's the first time for him?
Absolutely. Kurt's, like you said, he didn't even make the trip. He was recovering from his third surgery at that point, and, you know, we stressed to our players all week long about the guys that had been here. The environment. It was very important for us to practice here today. I know Nebraska didn't, but I really wanted our kids to experience the stadium itself. Just a little tidbit, Jim Sorgi, who was a backup quarterback here to Peyton for a long time, told us about the one end zone that has the suites down there. That he said, you know, on Sundays when all those people are wearing Colts jerseys, it looks like 50 people are playing defense against you in the end zone. And Russell looked at that last year during pregame warmups, made a special effort there. So just little things that Kurt's made aware. He's excited. He was a Manning fan growing up, so we put him in his locker, or what used to be his locker, apparently. We were told that gave him his own little spot there. He's like a king bee sitting in there today, so it was kind of fun to see that, and our kids are just rolling with it and having a little bit of fun.
Back here to the left.
Brett, sometimes you can use the whole underdog chip on the shoulder, do they belong thing to your advantage. How has the team embraced that so far this week?
You think I'm using that?
I don't know if you are or not.
You know, I think that, you know, going back to Sunday, we really hadn't talked much. The only time we had talked about Indianapolis was in preseason goals we wanted to get here. And then the week of the Indiana game, you know, just because of the way the schedules had laid out, we knew if we won that game, we were going to be back here. So I did use it that week, and then we put it to bed for 2 weeks. You know, we were about playing Ohio State and Penn State and really didn't bring up Indianapolis till this week. And, you know, on Sunday I told them, hey, listen, you're going to get this question. You prepare kids for what the media is going to ask them, what their family and friends are going to ask them. And, you know, I told them, hey, if we'd won these last or if we'd won all five of the games we lost, we'd still be playing Nebraska for an opportunity to win a Big Ten championship. So how we got here really doesn't matter. I thought our kids have been kind of answering that question all week. And, you know, now that we're here, you know, I can't speak on behalf of Nebraska, but I know we really don't care how we got here or who we're playing. We just want to play the person that we're playing, Nebraska, and our kids will be amped and ready to roll.
Back out here.
Brett, I know you guys didn't hold anything back in trying to beat Ohio State and Penn State, but what advantages do you have over Nebraska knowing that you knew 3 weeks ago that you were coming here to have one game to get to the Rose Bowl?
Just probably advanced planning. I remember last year, I'm a big don't do anything, don't get your cart ahead of the horse, you know, the type of guy. And the Big Ten Conference always wants things done really far in advance. So to just have that advantage that I knew our roster. I knew we could say what times we wanted. That was really the only thing as far as playing in a game. I would say Nebraska has an advantage because they got to play a day earlier, so they had an extra day of preparation. You know, the one continuum that we all have in life that nobody can change is time. You know, you can't buy it. You can't try to create it. We all have the equal amount of time, and for them to get an extra day of prep, to me, would be an advantage on them. And I've been challenging our guys all week. How are we going to make up that day? Are we going to practice a little bit better? Are you going to put in a little more overtime to get into film them and study a little bit more? So that part's real.
Out here on the aisle.
Coach, you keep talking about the been here, been there, done that. Do you think that's an advantage for you guys heading into this game, seeing that you've played in back-to-back Rose Bowls and Big Ten title game last year?
Well, the Rose Bowl won't have a factor. I'm just talking strictly for here in Indy. You know, it's such a great facility and an environment, and all that goes into it. Last year at kickoff, I mean, it's a loud, loud, loud environment. You know, everybody's asking about the crowd size. I know everybody, probably a lot of people are going to be in red and white Adidas. I mean, I know that much, you know, so... as far as the venue itself, I think it's an advantage that our kids have been a part of already, yeah.
Back over here.
Coach, with a guy like Taylor Martinez who can get it done with his legs too, how important is it to have Borland back in the middle, and how tough has it been for him just to be on the sidelines and watching these last two games?
Well, I do know this, you know, all due respect to Taylor, just to have our middle linebacker back in our scheme helps us out. I mean, he's the guy in the middle. He's your quarterback of your defense. He makes a lot of the calls, all the communications. He's a guy that, as we all know, can make a lot of plays, and he gives you an advantage that is truly one of the, you know, I've been a linebacker coach my whole career. He's one of the best ones I've ever been around. So in defending Taylor Martinez, you know, the one thing that has been apparent not only this year but the growth of our first game to where we are is his ability to be smart with the football. You know, he makes a lot of really good throws. The player, they designed some concepts schematically that the receivers are doing a really nice job of finding an open area for him. He can deliver it. He's throwing the ball so much more efficiently. So it's a tremendous task that we face.
Back here in the middle.
Several of your players have used the term eraser game. That specifically, is that something you endorse or have encouraged in the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, the one thing that we really stress to our kids this week is, you know, we're a 7-5 team that's looking for respect, and you know, because we haven't been able to finish those games in a positive way, you can kind of all be washed away with one opportunity here this Saturday. Because if you win this, you win a Big Ten championship. You win this, you get an opportunity to go to the Rose Bowl, which gives you an opportunity to, you know, to play that game again. So, yeah, it's. I don't think I ever used the word eraser, but I understand where they're coming from.
Back out here.
This kind of follows up on that. How much, having won this game and played in other big games, does this game define a program season by winning it, especially for your program in a situation where you could win three straight Big Ten titles?
You know, not a lot of people write about runner-ups. You know, I think that's the part that our guys really have to embrace is, you know, it's a chance to become a champion. It's a one-game playoff, however you want to phrase it. And our guys know what's on the agenda. I think from Tuesday, I really noticed it Tuesday's practice, just the way they came out and went at our work day on Tuesday, that these were a group of guys that are going to be ready to roll.
Back out here.
You used the three-peat title mentality or motivation all the way back in August. How do you maintain that level of intensity and continue that motivation throughout the entire season, considering the ups and downs you've had?
Well, I think even going back to January, our first team meeting, which is always the, you know, the Tuesday after Martin Luther King Day, we have a team meeting, and we just kind of lay out where we're at, where we're going. And I said at that time, you know, if anybody's goal is anything less than get back to Indianapolis, you're in the wrong room. I mean, our guys knew that we try to play for championships and put ourselves at a higher level. And, you know, to come full circle and get back here is very fulfilling, but we didn't come back here to play in it. We came back here to win in it.
Stay right out here.
Brett, have you seen a nothing to lose kind of mentality at all from your team this week?
Not really. I don't think we ever think like that. I don't know if I'm missing the question. I think we're going to do our deal. We're going to try to execute the tasks, execute the plan, and play our best football. You know, I really stressed to the guys last night, for us to play this game, we got to stick to our plan. We got to be able to execute it. We got to play critical at critical points, and our great players have got to play great.
Down here in front, Teddy.
Brett, two Moneyball questions. So much went wrong for him in the, you know, in the offseason and then early this season. Did you ever question, or did he ever question, whether he made the right decision to come back at all?
You know, Teddy, I'm sure sitting alone in his room, at times you're human. You know, you're going to go back to these thoughts, but he never let it show publicly, and I never saw that side of him. I think that one of the things I kind of constantly stress to him, and I know his parents do an even better job than I can ever give, is just letting him and reminding him that sometimes you got to go through some things in life to become better, and they're not really pleasant all the time. So he has take those setbacks. He's championed them individually, and it's obviously put him in the position that he's at today to be one of the premier players in college football, and not only in our conference but across the country.
Was there a turning point for him this season? Was it tied in with your offensive line?
For me, Teddy, there was a play in the Purdue game in the second half. You know, everybody had billed that game. You know, the people in the media, you guys, had kind of billed that as, you know, the showdown of the leaders division and all that jazz. And we knew it was just the next game on our schedule. It was a little too early to talk about Indianapolis. But it was a game that we were in a little bit of control of, but we came out the second half, and he hit an off-tackle play to our left, and he did a patented sidestep jump cut and accelerated away from the rest. And at that point, I saw something that I knew, you know, there's a couple of kids on the sideline joke, you know, Monte was gone, but Monty's back. That part was really real for me. I thought it was the guy that I recognized.
Back out here.
Coach, you've had a tremendous amount of staff turnover in the last 3 years, yet you find yourself making a run at three in a row here. Uncharacteristically, you got rid of an offensive line coach a couple games into the season. What's been the mainstay other than head coach Brett Bielema?
I think it's the University of Wisconsin, when I first got here, I walked into a staff room. I was the youngest in the room. Thanks to the media, I was also noted that I was the highest paid in the room. And I became very aware of how important a staff is. Then my next year, when I was named the head coach, and I'm working with a bunch of coaches that didn't know if they were going to stay aboard or they were going to move on, how it was going to factor out, and we still managed to find ourselves back to a January 1st bowl game. I believe we won 9 games that year. And if you got a dysfunctional, I mean, that was the ingredients for dysfunctional. And I think that Coach just did a great job of teaching me how to hold the line, make everybody believe into a certain way of thinking, and how much success you can have. And then to come full circle now as a head coach, I believe I've hired almost 25 coaches over the last 7 years. So I think I've gotten better at it each time, you know, and obviously I made a mistake and I had to correct that situation as fast as I could for us to move forward. I'm probably even more confident now looking back on it. If I hadn't changed as fast as I could have, we would never be here today. And unfortunately, that was a very difficult time that we had to work ourselves through, and thankfully we did, and now we found ourselves here.
Right out here.
Your players have been very resilient through a lot of these tough losses. Is there any concern that there's a limit to how much this group of kids can withstand should they get in another close game?
I agree, Tom. It's something that as coaches we talked about, we address. I think it's very important for us to not browbeat our guys. You know, you had to coach them and you had to be hard on them, but you also, on the same account, couldn't lose them. We did some things during practice that kind of curtail that, but also just physically backed off them a little bit to make sure you weren't tax them, because everybody is human. You have a breaking point that's there, but not with this group. I mean, I know I'm the only one here that really gets to be around them 24/7. I've been in their living rooms. I've seen the parents that they've come from. I know their own personal adversities, and that part has really, believe it or not, has really never concerned me. I think about it, but it never really concerned me, and these guys have reinforced that every week.
Stay right out here.
Brett, does Nebraska speed concern you even more indoors?
Across the board, offensively, defensive, on special teams, it's very, very clear that they're probably one of the fastest teams, if not the fastest, from A to Z that we've played this year. I tried to get them and put them in a longer turf out there, but nobody bought into it. So we're going to play on a fast track out there. And you know what? We got some speed, too. We got some guys that can run. And I think our guys are gassed up and ready to play. And, you know, no one ever asks you how fast you are when you make a tackle. You know, we got the guys that are ready to line up and play football and see who wins.
The back here.
Brad, a big picture question. You know the Big Ten better than most. You're kind of a veteran coach in the league now. What do you think the identity of this league is right at this moment? What does it hang its hat on from a football perspective? And And how far away is it from maybe the SEC and the Big 12, if far away at all?
You know, it's very hard for me to comment. I've never been in the SEC. I played them, obviously, a few times. So I can just talk about what I think of the Big 10. I think from top to bottom, you have good coaching. You have programs that, are going to take some rises and sometimes they'll take some falls. But you're going to have a competitive conference that puts out a good product. I'm kind of an old school guy that hangs on to the idea of doing things right and not having kids that make headlines for anything other than what they do on the football field and maybe some great things that they do away from the field. And hopefully we represent that. I know Coach Jim Delaney talks about that all the time, and that's still very important to me. So believe me, I'd love to have, including myself, I'd love to have five other teams in the Big Ten ranked in the top 20, but this hasn't been our year. It's been a year of ups and downs. Every time we seem to make a step forward, we get knocked back a little bit. So the great thing is, for whatever reason, we've got an opportunity to play on the biggest scale there is tomorrow night. We're the last game of championship weekend. You're going to see some great football all weekend long, starting today and tonight with the Pac-10 or Pac-12 or championship game. So it's going to be something that we're the culmination of championship weekend. We're excited to be here.
On the aisle.
Coach, last year you avenged a loss, early season loss. You have a chance to do the same thing. Is there any added sense of revenge heading into this game?
I get it, and I kind of got that question a little bit all week, and I'm being totally honest in the fact that, last year that Michigan State game was a very odd ending, with the Hail Mary and the replay in the review booth, and they had to take it upstairs and then came down, and I'm still not 100% convinced that ball is across the end zone, so there's a lot of that. I want to take another shot. Nebraska beat us game one, hands down, beat us. There wasn't any gray area there. There wasn't anybody looking around, what just happened? I mean, they beat us. They executed in the fourth quarter and won. So the spin of this year, I think, is an opportunity to play a team that's beat us. And it's not to right or wrong or anything like that. You have an opportunity now to play a team that you've lost to and see where we've come since that.
It's way out far right.
Coach, you've had 11 wins in the past 2 years. Where does this team rank up if they win tomorrow?
I told them last night, and I mean this 100%, I don't know if I've ever enjoyed and also hurt as much in 1 year coaching a team as this group. They give me everything that they got. They've been champions off the field. They've done so many things that media or the general fan base never sees that make you so happy to be associated with them. So I've grown a lot as a coach. I've had to replace 6 coaches on this staff, in reality, 7 kind of in a way. So as a head coach, I know in year 7 I'm better than I was in year 1. We've had a lot of success, so I'm excited. I'm really excited to play this game and playing our bowl game, but I have 27 juniors. I believe 12 of them are probably going to be draft-worthy. I'm very excited about the chemistry of the group. That's going to be coming back next year.
Here on the left.
Brett, how happy are you that Borland's back, and what type of a difference maker is he?
He makes you a really good head coach in a short amount of time. When 44 puts his jersey on, we were doing what was supposed to be a half-speed kicking drill on Thursday, and number 44 decided to go full speed and was very disruptive, shall we say. So I know he's ready to roll. He just brings, really, really good players. When they're in the play and when they're in the huddle, they make players around them better. And 44 is that kind of guy.
Stay here on the left.
Coach, along the same lines about the 11-win team, you've coached 7-win teams before, too. Does this feel like a 7-5 team, given all the weirdness you've had?
It really does. And, they've been devastating. And I kind of remind myself, we're a really good football team. I know this. It's the best 7-5 team I've ever been a part of, hands down. I don't know if that's a great thing to say or not, but it's the truth. And these guys don't have a loser mentality or anything that's negative. They're just a very, very resilient, positive group of young men that have bonded together in a way that has got them to this point. And, we've said it before, and I really believe this, in life, it's not what's behind you. It's not what's in front of you. It's what's within you. And this group really believes in that, and that's, I think, what keeps us together.
Right out here.
Coach, you had a little bit of a technique switch as far as blocking on the offensive line when you go back to Bart Miller. How how much of a difference has he been this season, and how much does the offensive line respect him just for what he's been able to do in a short amount of time?
You know, I can just go off of what a head coach sees on film, and it was evident. I made a coaching change on Sunday, and I saw it in Tuesday's practice. I mean, it was just literally overnight, but it didn't change overnight, but I could see the beginning phases. A lot of times what I see as a head coach, you may not see until 3 or 4 weeks down the road, and the kids have gotten better. They played stronger. This is a big game. We're going to challenge our offensive line for them to play well in a big game against a good defense, and that's what will be critical to our success tomorrow. But I think the kids, you know, just because they call you coach doesn't mean they always believe it in their minds. But when they talk to Coach Miller and interact with him, you can see that the respect is there. And he's a tremendous young coach that I'm blessed to have join us as a GA and now have him as a full-time coach. It's been fun to watch him grow as well.
Out here.
Hey, Brett, with the league going to 14 teams and some discussion about realigning divisions, would you like to see Nebraska every year? Do you think Nebraska and Wisconsin will be together?
You know, I'd get it. It makes a lot of sense. I'll defer that one. I don't want to get it suspended before their game tomorrow night. I'll leave that up to the league office and my AD. It's been fun, I go back 7 years ago. I remember walking into a head coach's meeting, and, you know, you got Lloyd Carr, you got Jim Tressel, you got Joe Paterno, you got Kirk Ferentz. Joe Tiller was in there, guys that I just was in awe of, you know, and I'm just kind of happy they let me in, and we're sitting there and they talk about playing in a conference championship game, and I can't give some exact quotes that were in there, but to say that the room was embracing a championship game would not be an adequate fair statement. Ron Zook was in there, and Ron and I both had been experienced a championship game when I was at Kansas State and of course him in the SEC, and we beat Oklahoma, was number one when I was at Kansas State, so it was like the best thing that ever happened in my coaching career. So I had a very vivid memory of that game, and I thought last year the culmination to be in the first one was awesome, but the exposure that our program has gotten, I mean, the year before we were in a Rose Bowl, but this game a year ago set our program apart in recruiting, national perception, and everything in a way that I'd never experienced so quickly. So we're on the right track, and obviously we've got two new kids on the block, and we're excited to have them with us. And where it goes, they're not taking any polls from coaches, I know that, but it's a fun time to be in the league.
On the aisle.
Coach, getting back to the whole been here, done that, besides the facility and the stadium, do you think all the big game atmospheres you guys have played in the past 2-3 years is going to benefit your guys heading into tomorrow?
I would hope so. It is different now. You walk in that pro locker room, I mean, it's bigger. It's, you know, all the kids kind of know. I got a head coach's office in there. I could bring, 15 of my buddies. We could have a heck of a good time in there. I mean, there's more room in there than you could ever think of. So it's different. But it's embraced. I told our kids all along, embrace it, take this opportunity. You get to be on the biggest scale. I believe there's 6 championship games, correct, this weekend, and we're one of those 6. And our kids really love these type of atmospheres and these platforms to kind of showcase their skills.
Back over here.
Brett, when you named Kurt your starter, you said the team would rally around him, and they did. Do you still feel the same way for your team, or is there a different rallying point for tomorrow's game?
No, I believe so. I think guys want to give Kurt a win. He's obviously played well at Indiana, but weren't able to give the finishing touches at Ohio State and Penn State games. So, not so much. I don't think Kurt's just kind of singled out now. I think we all want to do it for ourselves, and obviously Kurt would be a byproduct of that, but I do know this, because of the way Kurt has played, I think he's gotten a lot of respect. Not that he didn't have it to begin with, but just some of the shots he's taken, some of the throws he's made, some of the decisions he's made, from a coaching point of view, has been outstanding. So, and he's grown so much. You know, those first couple games now, he's making some mistakes that first-year quarterbacks make. It's just that he's a fifth-year quarterback, and, you got to go through some of those things. You got to make a bad decision. You got to say the wrong call. You got to snap the ball a little bit early and cause an issue. So all those things he's worked through, and he's gotten better every week.
Any final questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. Mm-hmm.